Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby, make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Tell my baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style.
Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee.
And welcome.
Hello.
Another on-time arrival for the Naked Soma Brigade.
This is beautiful.
It's a Philo Wednesday. Everything's beautiful, baby.
Yeah. Hey, I have some breaking news here from CBS. You want me to tell you?
Will I be prone to river dancing?
Perhaps.
All right, well, I'm Dr. Mark, that's Val, and the news is...
The Associated Press reports a campaign official said Senator Hillary... Yeah, that's good. Hillary Clinton has decided to end her presidential campaign while leaving her options open to retain her delegates and promote her issue agenda. So she's apparently out of the presidential BS now.
I do not believe you.
Yeah, I don't believe it either, but we'll see.
I think she's going to go independent on Friday.
Well, it remains to be seen.
She has,
she's swearing not.
She's been asked?
Yeah, she's been asked if she's going to continue on the presidential campaign, and she said no.
Yeah, but that's Democratic. That means taking it to the convention.
Perhaps,
got nothing to do
perhaps.
With
mm-hmm.
Flying her pirate flag.
Perhaps. I don't know.
Public. Well, no, okay. Now I'm on MSNBC here. Clinton will hold a staff event on Friday and a public event on Saturday. How many times does she have to make an announcement that she's quitting? I think public event Saturday means, you know, in the best interest of the party, screw the party. That's what it's going to be. Because she really thinks that the rules, that her people haven't been represented. She knows as soon as she, you know, endorses Obama that those 17 million people are going to scatter to McCain and or not vote, or they're going to go vote for Obama and screw her. So she's not going to have that, you know, it's like herding cats. I mean, she's not going to be able to keep them behind her if she just kind of like, you know, says she's going to endorse them. But if she does go ahead and endorse them, I think basically that is the end of the Hillary. Did we have the Wicked Witch of the West melting somewhere?
Yeah, perhaps. Here, let's just say this.
Good riddance, fuckface. So long, you fetus-faced windbag. Good luck managing a Denny's, douchebag.
Bob Costas is always funny. That's right. I tell you, I watched that little speech you made last night, and I was absolutely out of my mind that she could pull that off. And you know, she never acknowledged him. She never said that he won. And it was like, and then she gets to the end, and it's like everybody's like sitting there. There were senators literally with their chins on the ground. Like, why won't she just endorse this guy like everybody else does when they lose a campaign? She just, you know, this isn't played by
because
these rules.
She's an Ontosaurus.
Yeah, she's the worst. Absolute worst. And she's sitting there, I'm watching this thing, and I'm going, you know, the CNN guy comes back and he says, but the only thing she didn't do was ask Obama if he wanted to be the vice president.
Uh-huh. That was beautiful.
She loses everything. I don't know. Maybe Obama...
going to have to wait till Friday.
Maybe Obama has to consult the eco here.
Perhaps.
Listen.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The fuck are you doing?
That's right. Get Sue Simmons on the case. Well, I mean, that's pretty much what all the superdelegates said to her today, because a lot of them just changed over to Obama just to kind of like, you know, do the old sincerely dead routine on the witch.
What's up, Beaver Puss?
Oh, man. And the theme will be women, women, women tonight here on the Naked Soma.
Yeah.
So we're going to actually get to ask a lot of these questions to an expert in the area.
Uh-huh.
Yes, of twatology.
Oh, my God.
Renowned twatologist.
I don't know if she's a tautologist. She's an attorney.
Uh-huh. Of a JJ PhD.
She's got some other issues she's going to bring up. I hope you're holding your foreskin, because she'll be discussing that, too.
My foreskin is long since been removed from my body.
That's right.
Yes, and a painful incident in the waning days of 1964.
Which her and I had an interesting discussion about, so when she comes on, I'm sure she'll be talking about that.
Gee, I just can't wait.
Mm.
These are one of those shows, guys, if you're listening in the car on the West Coast and you're driving, or if you're home in a Barca lounger, you might want to get a bag of ice. You might want to find a cool drink to put in your lap, because we're talking women, which means they're coming for your balls.
Well,
right.
I don't know.
That's
I don't think she's like that.
Well, we'll see. We've had different takes on this from several times, and we'll see where we go, because, you know, I never know. I never know. Women and computers. What will I figure out first? It's a race. That's right. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I mean, I don't know. I think my computer's actually more temperamental than most women I know.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's saying a lot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that. That is just some possessed crap.
It has its quirks, but, you know, it's working right now.
Oh, you know, Mercury is retrograde, so it won't be long.
You know, I want to know if the Mercurians are going, you know, I think Earth is going forward. we're so concerned. We had the astrologer on there, your buddy there, Pam Cuccinelli, there back when first
I love
year
her.
There. And I just have this open question for any astrologer out there that can just basically call us up here at
646-478-4847.
And just please explain to me why every stinking thing in astrology is literally the end of the damn world. Why? Anytime they give you kind of positive information.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
It's always very fleeting. It's like, you know, oh, you got good luck from 2:15 to 2:19 on Thursday. Better optimize that. And then it's right back to the shitter for you. You know, it just seems like we get these things every week, you know, and it's just, we, you know, being woo that we are, there's several different versions of the story. I prefer the Levine boy there on Google to some of the other ones I read. But it just seems like it's a never-ending sort of like sky is falling situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand that. I just don't, and almost every other woo modality has that sort of theme to it that has to do with the future. The future is always where, I see very, you know, and it just seems like they ever just say, you know, if you set your mind to it and do these, there's never sort of a logic to it. It's always very emotional. So this is my open question to astrologers. Just please explain why the skies are always, you know, cursing us
screwing
and crossing us and screwing with us and warning us and threatening us and upheaval and this junction with that. I just don't understand all the negativity. And I understand negativity, just not astrological negativity.
Mm-hmm.
I keep my negativity to the ground. Yeah, I have
ass
negativity. Yes.
I just got an IM from my friend Carolyn. Hello, Carolyn. she says that there was a news article talking about our friend Hillary. And one of the last times that she was in public, somebody had a sign that said, iron my shirt, or he started yelling, iron my shirt.
That guy's been following all over the country, yeah.
That is hysterical. Yeah. She said, let's see, the remnants of sexism alive and well tonight. That was her answer.
Yeah, well, that's her answer to everything. I mean, she's only really made any progress in the campaign when she's taken on the role of being the victim.
Yes, actually.
And that's pretty much what she's done. And you know what? It's going to be a different campaign without her hanging around. Because from here on in, we got to put up with Grandpa up there, you know, waving his hands. You know, but he literally is angry man yells at cloud, as Keith Olbermann says. It cracks me up.
You know, we're going to have to get some Grandpa Munster clips for the show.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll get on that for next week. I believe we have a caller.
Caller, not a guest? I don't know what to do with that.
I think it might be our guest.
Usually it is this time of night.
Yeah, hang on.
All right.
What time is it? Well, it's about that time. Let me get the diving horn. You ready?
Go ahead. All right, she's live. Joining us now is the owner and director of two, not one, but two new organizations, Conscious Women and Conscious Lawyer. Oh, what a lethal combination there. Raising awareness of legal and consumer issues concerning women's health and the environment. We welcome Raquel Lazar Paley to the Naked Summer Airways.
Yay!
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
How are you?
Welcome.
Good. Thank you. I'm still getting over the sound of that horn thing. What is the meaning of that?
With the Soma submarine, we're all dealing with the collective unconscious here in the air, and so we put the horn up to say that we're leaving port, you know, so that the guest is aboard our little Soma submarine.
That's
a little joke on ourselves. And we just know that it's 10 after 9, it means we have to start the interview. It's really what it means. But
right. I love it. Okay, terrific. Well,
give us your 25 words or less sort of reason for being there. Do we need conscious women and conscious lawyers in the universe? Apparently we do.
Yes, we do. And, you know, Conscious Woman actually was the first program that I launched, and Conscious Lawyer is a brand new one. We just did one round of programs for that, and we're going to take a little break until the fall to continue with it. But I'd like to start with Conscious Woman, which has really just done beautifully. We just launched that in October of 2007. And we just have a wide variety of programs of interest to women, and we're just constantly expanding the topics and the population that's been interested in our programming. So,
let's get into some little grizzle here just right away off the top of the interview here. Just you watched, I don't know, I hope you watched Hillary last night make her confession speech, not concession speech that she made last night. How did you, just someone that's you know, at the forefront of empowerment issues concerning women, how did you look at her campaign, and what did you think of last night?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I have not yet seen it. We do not have television in our house. I know. I am just kind of, out of that. I need to, I look up these things online or get the paper. I'm kind of old-fashioned in that way. We have two young children and have definitively decided that television is not a good idea in the house with the children. So I'm sorry I can't comment on it. Tell you the truth, you just stumped me right in the beginning of the interview.
I didn't mean to stump you. I just said that's what makes you the leader and us the listener, that you did that, because I tell you, She's a polarizing person. I mean, there's not a lot of people that have a lukewarm opinion of her. I just want to get an idea. What would be your description of a conscious woman in the culture? Like, what would be their attributes? What would be the features of somebody that would be aligned with your organization, things that you're into?
Yeah, actually, the women that have been aligned with the organization have not really been, tremendously political. We do have a growing number of activists that have been engaging in our conscious activism program. But it's just a lot of women who are just really concerned about what's going on in our healthcare system, what's going on in the environment, and are looking they're looking at a societal level, but very much in an individual and a close communal level, as to how they can improve themselves, improve their knowledge base, and also kind of improve the community in which they're living. So we're really focusing on raising women's awareness about issues concerning childbirth and lactation, raising children, what kind of health care decisions are you making for your children, whether it be through vaccination, and then next year we'll be starting up with the circumcision programs as well. This is really where our focus is at. And again, we do have the conscious activism programs with Jim Turner, who was one of the original Nader's Raiders, and he's been working through the Moyer model of democracy, which was kind of based on Ken Wilber's work, so which has been a really interesting departure from the usual type of legislative work that, you know, we see a lot of activists kind of chasing their tails and just mm-hmm. kind of going after their agenda without really understanding the general framework of how activist movements really function. And we're kind of taking them that step back and giving them a kind of a broader picture of what they're doing and how they fit into kind of a more general framework of things. So
you're getting into the old spiral dynamics and the whole altitude and all that Wilbur talk?
Yeah, well, he kind of very briefly touches on the spiral dynamics, but we're really going more into the Moyer model of the, if you read Doing Democracy, which is a really fabulous book about marginalized groups and movements and how they function and how they develop. That's really the framework that he's following. And besides that, I mean, our programs are very, we have a lot of very substantive programs. We get some, you know, experts in childbirth from Sarah Buckley, who's been doing a fabulous program from Brisbane, Australia, and called Gentle Birth, the Science and the Wisdom, where she's gone through all the research and really explains how, you know, all of science really leads us to leaving women alone during birth for best outcomes. And
I just was chortling because leaving men alone has become the issue for parenting once they're born. So, that whole theme, I guess, maybe I guess I'm jumping ahead here, but, you know, Bruce Lipton's another guy that crops up when you think of these things. There's the whole movement called conscious parenting, I guess you're familiar with that one, that the first 6 years the kid's alive, as the brain's developing, they're basically not even conscious of a lot of things that are going on. The brain is kind of adding in the parts and puzzles and things like that. So they're using the parents as a model of what relationships are like, and this is one of the things that when you're in the conscious parenting mode, I'm not sure if you mentioned the age of your kids, that creating the environmental conditions to optimize development is really the task of the parent, and not so much what's gone on in the last 15, 20 years, where they've made parenting into this sort of skill you learn like macrame, as if it could be, you know, homogenized.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to get, you know, are you familiar with the conscious parenting people? That whole side of the coin? California versus that kind of guys?
I've heard of it, and I do actually have another trademark on the conscious parent, although I haven't really had the time to set up a whole nother organization, so we're running all of our conscious parent programs through Conscious Woman. But, you know, generally we have so many different organizations out there all that, you know, the common theme that's going throughout all of these programs and through all of our programs is, you know, there's a natural order to things, and whenever you're interfering with a natural process, there are going to be ramifications, and you really need to understand and have a better grasp on those ramifications before engaging in these types of interventions. And that follows through in all areas, whether it be your own personal health, your children's health and development. I know there's this large movement now for more unschooling or more really child-centered based, educational programs and, you know, getting these kids, you know, out of the desks and moving around.
That would
and,
be nice.
You know, yeah, and, you know, you see this with a lot of the, the child-centered school programs. Like, we have our children in Montessori, but Waldorf also does beautifully in this area. Reggio Emilia is another program that's a little less familiar in the States but very popular abroad. So, you know, we see this real movement in that direction. And I think a growing number of parents also realizing and, you know, having more awareness that, you know, having the children in front of the television is really stifling their creativity because it's kind of creating imagery for them and not allowing their brains to develop that part. That's necessary for that kind of creative development, and we see that with healthcare as well. We have a drastic reduction in the number of parents that are circumcising their little boys. They're really starting to recognize that this is really not beneficial at all medically and can be very harmful on a psychological level. And with vaccinations as well, we're now seeing it on the news constantly that the vaccination program has gotten way out of control. And,
well, they're mandating it. This is probably the bridge to conscious lawyer, is that certain counties, they're mandating that the legally that if you don't have these these immunizations, then the kid can't go to school, public school. I mean, they're making it a public health issue.
Well, you're seeing that more on the East Coast. That more on the East Coast than on the West, because it's really, if you look, I know the National Vaccine Information Center has a really nice map on their website of all the states and what exemptions the states have. And the only states that you see that do not have, religious and or philosophical exemptions are all on the East Coast, and that's where you see all of this activity happening. I mean, I've always lived in states where you can just, flip over the vaccination card and say, I personally object to the vaccines, and the kid goes to school. There's no question about it. So a lot of parents are aware.
Well, school here is extremely on the East Coast. It's archaic. I mean, I'm not sure if the traditional mechanisms to connect parents to educators has been through things like PTA, SEPTA, things like that for special needs kids, and that's always been highly medical, highly, sort of like mainstream in the way that they give information out. Just simple things, diet, exercise, all that stuff's been very much down the company line, because public schools have always had sort of a shadow relationship with the vaccine companies, the drug companies. You got to get your school physical, Johnny, and if you went to a weirdo like I'm a chiropractor. That was looked at as like you went to someone who's basically a communist and probably a terrorist. It's like you went where, and so all those traditional fences that have on the East Coast are still pretty high, and as you get west of the Mississippi, not as big a deal, because you have much more of a cultural pressure on the schools to adapt to more alternative options, and even the simple things like what a parent and guardian is. I mean, you've got a lot of variation in what a family even consists of now. I mean, a lot of times, it used to be very simple, the 1950s kind of concept of what family is, and you see how that's been changing. I mean, how do you guys deal with things like that?
In our programming?
Yeah, I mean, as far as looking at it from the cultural standpoint, things are evolving, and that definition of family has moved from a fixed, traditional approach to a much more, wide open kind of approach.
To tell you the truth, we haven't addressed it through Conscious Woman or Conscious Lawyer in our programming at all, because for me it's kind of a non-issue, I guess, because we're not going to pass judgment on people for these kinds of family situations. I mean, the nuclear family is almost non-existent now.
Right.
We have so many. I was an estate planning attorney before I engaged in all of this, and I was quite shocked when I had a couple come in that had been married for a long period of time, and all their children belong to each of them. It was a very easy estate plan to put together. For me, it's like, however people choose and whatever's working, and if the children are thriving and healthy and, allowed to, be their own independent selves, I'm very much in support of that. So we are going to have a program. Probably it won't be for a while, but we're starting to talk about doing a program called Parenting. Bless you. Called Parenting Outside the Box. Okay. Called a Parenting Outside the Box. And I'm kind of working with a lawyer and also kind of a lactation person that's kind of interested in these areas. And she lives on the East Coast. And, I had expressed an interest in, from a legal perspective, addressing the issues that parents who don't kind of toe the party line, have with, with the non-vaccination and with, extended breastfeeding and with, a lot of, home birthing is under fire in a lot of states as well. So, how we address all those from a legal perspective. But the legal part of the programming is still very new. And we've only done one round of lectures called Law as a Healing Profession, which was really fabulous, and we're getting it up as an archived recording for people to be able to watch. So that's basically where we're headed.
So how do you deal with topics that come up in the news, like recently with that whole group down in Texas with the that Child Protective Services came in after the fact and said you couldn't remove these kids from that ranch? And
that was tough.
I mean, because I know just from the outside looking in, from that situation, from what we talk about here on the show a lot, is that you have you know, the biological way of looking at things, and we get into that a lot here. But there's also just when you deal with things that are that taboo and that sort of foreign to us, we seem to run to the legal aspect of it right away to see where, how we interpret this, and it isn't in there. I mean, it's just between the lines. It's not in the words. It's sort of an unspoken or an unwritten way of doing things. And how do you guys, you know, address things that are, traumatic like that with the conscious woman type of approach?
Well, to tell you the truth, in conscious women, I'm not sure if you're really familiar with the way that we're doing the programming. General current events are just left for our discussion boards and for maybe a blog item that I might post and allow for discussion. But you know, our programs take generally around 6 to 8 months to plan and work out, and they're really specifically directed workshops on, you know, specific topics, and not necessarily what's current in the news, because this is, you know, all this stuff just kind of comes and goes over, you know, over time. But they do get addressed in the discussion forums, and also in all these other Yahoo groups that are kind of indirectly connected to us in one way or the other. But in terms of the actual programming, no, we have kind of more. More general topics that we really want to get more kind of generic information out there for the population. So it's going to be a program on birth. It's going to be a program on how do you promote lactation in the workplace. It's going to be, a program about, the one that we're that's in development right now for next year is called The Intact Boy. And the way we're going to do that is we're not going to really be addressing individual issues in the news, but we're going to be going through a whole anatomy and physiology of the foreskin, hold psychological implications, religious questions to circumcision as a woman's issue, and how does this affect maternal mother-baby bonding. So it's really more kind of generic topics that, you know, the media doesn't cover, and that people really have, you know, the right and the need to know more about it. So.
Well,
that's
this is
really
sort of Val's area, but I'll just kind of cross the line here because it is 9:27, and I get to do that. when we're dealing with, and you talk about the intact boy, when you're dealing with sort of the grayscale of female versus feminine versus feminism, or basically promoting a fully conscious woman, and you're dealing with issues like you're talking about here, raising a child, what type of environment is kicking to grow up in? Are we going to nurture the biological relationship, or are we going to deny it and make it much more kind of like, you know, you stop doing breastfeeding here, things like that? And you touched on the whole foreskin issue, which is just kind of came out there. And this is another area where women have been much more advocates for it than men. I haven't seen one, hippy-dippy-do new age guy running around saying, stop the circumcisions. It's been the women, because the mothers are powerless, and I've seen it happen over and over again. They go into the pediatricians, and they go into these, especially when they're working for the whole time with the obstetricians, they're consciously, again, I'm underlining that word, I don't want this for my kid. And the policy sort of mandates that in order to maintain the relationship, the doctor says, look, if I don't do this, I can't continue to be your doctor sometimes. They'll say you're doing unsafe practices. I mean, the vaccine thing, forget it. They put you through, on the East Coast, not so much where you guys are, but they put you through such a gauntlet to maintain it. My child was born in Connecticut, and he was a special needs child with multiple operations, spent 6 months in the hospital. There wasn't a pediatrician in Fairfield County that would touch us, because we were labeled holistic zealots, because we wouldn't do the vaccines. No, I am a holistic zealot. Have to be. But the thing is that when you're dealing with the allopathic, conventional, mainstream type of approach, even if you're dealing with one that's, you know, open to these things, they have pressures on them to make sure, like a little checklist, that these things are done. And I just, I understand you're giving them information, but are you also giving them strategies to go and have a dialogue with people, or is it much more about giving them resources like the vaccine organization mentioned before, Barbara Jo Fisher, those kinds of people have?
There will be a whole segment on communication, and then we're going to follow that one up with another round of conscious activism with Jim Turner for the Intactivists. So we do always do that, but you know, you do need to start with some fundamentals. And if a good portion of the population doesn't even know what a foreskin is and what its purpose is, and that this is not like an extraneous piece of the human body, then it's really hard to make arguments, you know, unless you start with those kinds of fundamentals. So that's where we're going to be in.
I'll quote unquote play dumb. Give us a minute on what if you were making this argument to a pediatrician, how would you make the argument to them on a physiological basis that circumcision is counterproductive to the that boy's development?
Okay, well, first of all, we do have the executive director of Doctors Opposing Circumcision with, you know, as one of our speakers, and that's John Geishaker, and really delightful gentleman from the West Coast who will be talking about that. And we also have a registered nurse who will be going into all the details. From my knowledge, and, you know, again, I've done some basic reading on it, so I hardly am an expert on this, and that's why I hire the experts to give
these
lectures. But, you know, basically there is no medical benefit to doing this, okay, and it causes trauma to the baby, and you know, also it's removing a huge percentage of the sexual sensation of a child, and you'd think that perhaps we should give that child some informed choice and some ability to make their own decisions whether they want a body part removed, especially one that contains, I've heard, anywhere between 30 and 50 of the sexual percent of the sexual sensation for them. And then you start to look at, you know, the other end, when they're all grown up and they're involved in a relationship, and, you know, and then from a woman's perspective, I mean, most women that I have heard or that I have interviewed that have been with men that have been circumcised or not circumcised or intact, as we like to call it, say that being with intact men is much more satisfying. There isn't as much need of lubrication, and, you know, then there, I think there's been some kind of speculation that the industries that manufacture lubrication have been very much involved in keeping this circumcision practice alive. They make a fortune. So you kind of wonder where all of this is coming from. And again, if there's no medical benefit for it at all, why do it? Okay, and then another thing that John, the director again of Doctors Opposing Circumcision, and by the way, there is a growing number of doctors who are becoming more vocal about not doing this, is forced retraction. And still, because there's so little knowledge about the foreskin and its function and how it develops, throughout a childhood.
Just as a basis of trying to establish sort of a percentage here, what percentage of the population of males in this country are uncircumcised? Is it less than 10%?
I think we're at right now the rates are about 50%. I think
50.
Yeah, they've made a lot of progress. Although the rates of circumcision are still much higher on the East Coast, and I think that the rates. I mean, again, I'm just kind of guessing here, but I think, bless you, I think the rates on the West Coast have now gone below 50%. I think they're like at around maybe 40% circumcised on the West Coast. So it sounds to me that you just need to move out west.
Yeah,
you could be much happier out here.
Pack my bags. Oh my God! I just feel like, you know, especially that we deal. I mean, just any health issue. It used to be that everyone got their tonsils ripped out, you know, sight unseen, and we had a huge battle with our pediatricians. I don't even know, it was a year and a half ago. So same thing. And again, this is my special needs son was around 12 at the point, and they were like, you know, he's having problems. He had a paralyzed vocal cord from his heart surgery. So like, well, let's take all of his tonsils out. While we work on his vocal cord, and I just said, could you justify that? Just you're ripping out things that have been there forever, and they couldn't. And it's like there's just almost like I said that the most parents feel so beholden to their doctor and so respectful of their authority that to challenge it is an uphill climb, especially when you're challenging educators. And
especially even in, if you have the special needs PTA SEP that we have out here, all they do in these SEPTA meetings is sit there and talk about what's the latest medication to give your kid. As my sister, who's an educator, she calls them shut up pills. You know, so it's like they're much more allopathic and they're much more symptom oriented than you would believe. They're not as progressive. When you get to the progressive side, they seem to have a leg up on exemptions, legal things, maneuvers like that. But it's almost like you're living in a world that's not only not supportive, it's almost just defiantly ignorant about what your argument is. So making your argument is one step, and you're doing a great job of making it here, but it's living that life around, you're going to be the only kid at the party, you know, the only kid, you know, that kid can't watch TV, or that kid can't have chocolate, or that kid can't have peanuts, and it's almost like that. It singles the holistic kid out from the crowd, and especially when you're dealing with immunization, because this is one of those twisted arguments. Maybe on the other side of the Rockies, it's not as prevalent. But the argument they make, the allopathic moves make, which makes no sense, is that the non-immunized kid, the kid that doesn't get all that garbage into their immune system, somehow is a threat to the bulletproof kid that got the shot. And they always mm-hmm. go, keep away from that unimmunized boy, because, of course, you've got the bulletproof vaccine in you, but not from – it doesn't make any sense. You would think the other way around, that the if their argument is, if you don't have this immunization, then you're at risk. But they make the other argument, that it actually makes the vaccinated kids more susceptible. I can never get past that one.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But
well, you know, it's – yeah, it's funny. I have a friend here who is, she saw in the paper that a reporter remarked that they were so surprised that, you know, Boulder, Colorado had some of the highest numbers of educated parents in the country mm-hmm. living in this city, and mm-hmm. also the highest number of children who were not vaccinated. And the reporter was surprised. How can so many educated parents not be vaccinating their kids? And, you know, this friend of mine was laughing about this. And, you know, this is, you know, quite evident from our perspective. But, you know, there are pockets of society that live like this. And again, you can say, well, you know, I want my kid to just, you know, be like all the other kids. And then you can say, you know what, I'm really not pleased with the way things are going in our society and with the way children are turning out nowadays, and I'm going to do something different for my kids. And you know what? They're going to be healthier. They're going to be more creative. They're going to be more open-minded. And then they'll just have to find their way in the world because this is their path. And if they decide to go another direction, that's fine. But that's their decision.
It's tough because, again the community think or the group think mentality is kind of, like I said, they get spooked by the mainstream, really. So you live out in the Boulder area, is that where you're from?
No, actually, we just moved here from Southern California a couple years ago, and I don't think we're leaving. We absolutely love this place. What do they call it? 25 square miles surrounded by reality. So, it's great, and, you know, I get plenty of reality through my business and through the contacts I'm making there.
Wow.
We're finding this to be a fabulous place to raise our children, and we find so many like-minded people. And it's just a really wonderful community, and a lot of chiropractors out here.
Yeah.
So
I'm over here on JetBlue booking a flight right now. Actually,
I bet he is. He's been doing nothing but talking about that.
I pine away because I got friends out there, and I got family in Highlands Falls, south of Denver, and I'm very into the Wilbur people and all that stuff. I mean, I'm basically just a misplaced sape over here in New York. But I wonder if you know Lisa.
Hmm.
That's a combination.
Lisa Lawless?
No, I don't know. My husband's a chiropractor. I know that.
No, this is a chiropractor.
she's a little better than a chiropractor.
No, I'm a chiropractor. She's a psychologist. But no, Lisa Lawless is actually, she's someone who will be actually in line with what you're talking about, because her whole thing is female sexual empowerment. That's her whole deal. And she's based in Boulder as well.
Well, I haven't been here again. I've only been here a couple of years, and I'm trying to meet everyone. So, I'll get me her information.
I'll send that off to you. She's great.
Now, that's a party, that conversation.
Non-toxic dildo lady and tons and tons and tons of information on her site.
You can't imagine. Well, basically, if you do everything that these two women are saying, you're going to have a lot of fun in your life. I mean, the kids are going to be healthy, and everyone's going to have a good time. I think there's a hang-up. We talked about this with Lisa when we had her on the show.
talking about sex or talking about anything that has to do with making decisions about your body, especially when it comes to things that are related to sexuality, are almost to the point now where people in this, there's such a Puritan denial and such a messy, you know, kind of a head trip on it, that we're not functional there. We're not able, like I said, that we did a couple of little college things with Vow students, dealing with things like, you know, sexual orientation, all kinds of things happening. How do I deal with contraceptives, or relationship stuff?
Yeah.
And they wade through it, and it's like, I don't know. I just think that they either delay or deny that it's happening, and then for the most part, when the discussion comes up, when actually you get to the point where you're making a decision about it, there's almost an inherent second guess that how do I know this is right? Because like you're talking about, being able to live independently of the cultural pressures and the norm and what other people are saying, and doing things that are beneficial, your own truth, and being able to kind of like ignore or transcend a lot of the noise that people are around. So, this is the part of the support group part, I guess, is what the site's about. Do you find in talking to these women that they've been struggling with those kinds of things, of being able to even just like discuss it or make movements in that direction in terms of their behavior, that they need a little more of a push, more of a handhold, and that it's hard getting out of the showroom, so to speak?
You know, I think that a lot of them have just found it really refreshing, and I think that's one of the beauties of the Internet, because, you know, 20 years ago,
right.
If a woman, I know that, I know I'm good friends with Nancy Wainer, who is one of the leaders of the cesarean awareness movement, and, you know, she said she was just fairly isolated in her home. You know, how many people in your community can you find, you know, that necessarily, you know, share your perspectives? Of course, unless you live in Boulder, Colorado. But, you know, on the internet, I mean, you can just start up a little Yahoo group and just start putting the word out.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you can have people from all over the world, and it might just be 50 people that are completely spread out, but that's still a nice community to continue to share and evolve and to grow and learn from. And that's part of one of the, you know, the beauty of, you know, the Conscious Woman programming is, you know, we'll have a webinar online, and, you know, we've got people from, right now we're capturing women from all over the U.S., Canada, and Australia. We kind of picked up a lot of people from Australia, all coming together in one room to hear a lecture and also discuss it. They're interactive, so we have Q&A, we have discussion time, and it's wonderful, kind of a live time. It's like just the next, you know, the best thing, of course, would be all in a room together, you know, dancing around, but, you know, we can't do that, so we can, you know, have these webinars and, you know, at least, you know, be able to learn and interact and make connections and, you know,
yep.
be able to hear experts without having to get on an airplane and travel halfway across the world to some conference that you may not have time or inclination to go to, but you can get that information on the web. And I think that that's been just like one of the main gifts that that we've been able to bring out into the world by doing it. So, you know, it is possible to create that community and to keep it growing as well, because I think that there is a growing awareness about these things. I think that a lot of people are starting to get more and more skeptical about, you know, about doing everything that their doctor tells them, or, you know, again, what they see on television. And again, I'm sorry, I'm no expert on that since I haven't watched one in so many years. But, you know, to really, you know, learn and grow and just become more conscious. And that's what we're doing.
Well, I mean, like I said, a lot of the stuff you're talking about is something that we're right in step with, because we are aligned with what you're talking about. We just don't see a lot of people actually going forward and organizing like you have.
That's true, yep.
And I just wonder that as this thing starts to gain traction and you go through, you know, a 5-10 year period where the Internet's going to spread it faster than it would spread on the ground anyway, but as you get other cultures involved, you know, that don't have as much allopathic, you know, baggage on them, are you starting to realize that this stuff is much more universally accepted outside of the Western culture, that you're getting to the point where you're stretching your arms and getting more Europeans and Easterners involved with this early on, or is it something that's been strictly a North American type of approach right now?
Well, again, North America and Australia has been the main focus, although we are starting to get a number of inquiries from Europeans, mostly complaining about our times because we're trying to accommodate the Australians. So we can't accommodate everybody all over the planet unless I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I don't want to do. So, you know, but they're starting to become more interest there, and I've noticed a number of people from other countries on the mailing list, so they're following along. And what we're doing now is we're starting to get some of our early programs up as archive recordings, and then what we're going to do is close caption them, and we're going to start translating them first into Spanish and then into, I think, definitely Spanish, and then maybe into French, and then possibly Hebrew. I'd like to get the intact boy in Hebrew, that segment at least, and some of the birthing stuff, because, you know, talk about women not, or people not contradicting their doctors when you have a cesarean rate of over 30%, you know that, you know, something is going on very wrong in that area as well.
Do we handle anything? I mean, do we handle even menopause or with all the hysterectomies? Do we handle anything that women go through?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I am looking for speakers in that area. Every month I highlight a conscious woman of the month, some really remarkable woman that I think is inspirational. And this month I'm writing an article right now on a woman that just put together a play specifically on women midlife and beyond, which is really fabulous play. And on our resources section, I do have a section on hysterectomy and breast cancer, and I do want to start to expand the programming to other generations. Next year we will do a program for grandmothers. We're going to have a 6-part workshop for grandmothers, because now I think only 2% of grandparents actually live in the same city as their grandchildren.
Wow.
So we want to have like a conscious grandmothering program where they can really, be more of a presence in their grandchildren's lives, because this is a very important generation that we're just losing in our family dynamics nowadays that used to be very influential and very helpful in the raising of children, and now they're just so disassociated from it. Sure. So that's kind of the beginning of our expansion into programs for other things. But yeah, if there are any women out there that want to do a lecture, you know, on hysterectomies, on all forms of genital mutilation as well, female issues. I'd also like someone to start talking about other kind of cultural things that we have going on, like breast implants and, you know, other things that, you know, just women just do to themselves for image purposes, to give them more information. I would love to hear more about that.
Do you know Vicki Huffnagel, the surgeon? She wrote a book called No More Hysterectomies about maybe 10, 11 years ago.
I have one called Saving the Whole Woman that was really good. I don't remember the author, but I'm taking notes here. Okay.
Yeah, Vicki Huffnagel's a pioneer. I actually interviewed her on a local television station here. My God, what an interview that was! That was legendary in my little local community here in Mamaroneck. We called it public accident TV because people just stopped what they were doing and watched the pageantry of the two of us, having like a WWF type of conversation about hysterectomies.
Oh my!
And yeah, it was. Yeah, well, I learned a lot. Boy, the Anto from.
Working with Vivian, she had bumper stickers in the store that said Save the Uterus, and it had a little uterus with a smiley face on it.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, well, I think that really between the cesarean epidemic that we've got going on and hysterectomies, it's going to be very rare for women to, you know, make it to their deathbed with their uteruses
intact.
That. So,
our energy center taken out and thrown in a bucket somewhere.
And Val's dealt with that with a lot of women in the Muslim community that go through all kinds of issues related to just their own physical body in a general sense, because the arranged marriages and all the other stuff that they go through identity wise. So it isn't like there's a shortage of issues for you guys to tackle here at all.
We're having no problem with that. We're already pretty booked through spring of 2009.
Yeah.
So we do take a long time to develop these programs and work out the scheduling, and then I've got all these speakers that I need to train on how to deliver webinars because this is brand new for them. So hardly no one, as far as I know, no one's done a progressive lecture circuit online. So, so you know, we just have a lot of training, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of midwiving of the midwives, especially, who are very wary of technology to begin with. And but they're really coming around and really, really doing beautifully. So I'm very excited, and I think, you know, we might be a little bit ahead of our time, but I really believe that, you know, we already, in only 8 months online, the listserv is already over 700, which means that a lot of people are very interested in what we're doing, and it's really picking up speed.
You're going to resonate with a lot of people just because of the fact that you're putting these things in front of their eyes that they don't normally see all in one place, and with so much you know, heart and soul behind it, like you're talking about here. I mean, if it becomes the home for the wayward stripper, so be it. You know, they need help too. You know, there's so many sort of like gutter lanes that women will fall into because of choices they made, because of the culture basically giving them a menu that says, okay, if you're physically attractive, this is the way you go, and if you are religiously, you know, torn this way, there's almost like this. From the age of 25 to 50, women go through sort of a nutrition with the culture, whether it's career, family, their body. They're just one thing after the other. So this is something, like I said, that they're not just going to put a toe in the water. They're going to be with you for 5, 6, 7, 8 years learning things, hopefully, and then passing that down to their family. So
yeah, and it doesn't start at age 25, and it doesn't end at age 50 either.
No.
It's a real lifetime thing. So.
Oh no, I'm just saying that that's the window where you're going to get a lot of resonance right now, because that's, to me, where I see the choices being irreversible, and a lot of times there's a lot of you know, people going through small, falling through the cracks. But you can go from cradle to grave with this, no doubt. So.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you luck with it. So, okay, just wrapping up, what's the most common misconception about what you're trying to get done? Because we didn't really touch on the conscious lawyer part, but are you trying to bring together disparate worlds where there's a legal world where there's a lot of, like, you know, nuts and bolts and details that not everybody knows about that could help them out, or is it more, are you trying to bring them more to from the right brain side, from the emotional side, to get them to speak up and interact? And what's the most common misconception about the things you're trying to do?
I think the latter of what you had stated was
okay.
Really what we're trying to develop, is really developing, you know, a sense of community, just a raised consciousness about these issues. You know, when you know, as we're working as activists as well, we find that, you know, different people have different roles, and, you know, if one movement happens that's really focused on the natural order of things is moving forward, we'll find that others will kind of naturally move in that direction as well, regardless of their activities in that area. So we really just, again, want to, you know, create community, create a forum where people can grow and learn together and not have to, again, rely on the media, on television for their education, which is where most people are getting it nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, since so many people are not actually sitting down and reading research studies and books, to just turn on your computer and hear a one-hour lecture of someone else giving, you know, presenting this information in a really palatable way with a nice PowerPoint so you can actually see some visuals as well, not just listening in, because most people are visual learners. So just to have that kind of interactivity and be able to ask questions and be able to follow up on our discussion forums afterwards, this is what we're doing, and I think it's gonna continue to grow and evolve. And I'm a very flexible person, so I like to take it off in different directions and see where the demand is, and just kind of go from there. But so far, you know, the response has been just fabulous, and I'd love all the listeners to check out consciouswomen.org and consciouslawyer.org, which doesn't have as much on it right now, but it will soon.
Oh, yeah.
And come and join us.
Well, we really thank you for coming on tonight and giving us, the guided tour, and we wish you luck with it down the line. Hopefully, we'll get you back on a panel with Lisa and some other women.
You definitely have to come back.
Get Sandy and we'll get Alexis Tyler, and I will duck. for the entire hour.
You'll have to duck if Alexis is here.
we get Alexis Tyler, we get Sassy, we get Lisa and you, and basically and you guys
it.
Can have and Val could run the show, and I'll just handle the.
You'll just wear your jock and be quiet.
I'll just sit 5 feet away from the keyboard and just get my education. So.
That's right.
All right.
Okay,
thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much.
Yeah,
take
we'll
care.
See you soon. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Talk
to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
She's awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Like I said, it went really quick. I mean, it was, you know, we don't have much time. If you guys want to just, you know, pop Val and I am and get any questions to us before we get off the air at 10, I just, you know, this is one of those things. She was very patient with me. I'm kind of crude, but kind of crude.
You?
Yeah, well, I mean.
I'm worried about the beaver.
Yes. she's just kind of taken aback. But what is this man talking to me like this? I just get the sense that there's sort of these communities, you want to call them online, but they seem to they work in isolation. They don't deal with the moo as much as we're always in the moo right here on the East Coast. It's moo, 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 moo. And even the woos that are doing these progressive things are doing them in a moo-like way.
Yeah.
So what happens, of course, they mooify their woo, and of course they nullify it, and then you get nothing. You get no progress because you cannot take this kind of information to the local PTA. They will gobble you up and hose you down and put you with a scarlet letter on your neck because you look and act like a witch to them. You're a foreigner to them. We're up in the mountains there in Colorado. You know, they line the streets with rose petals for you. It's amazing. Location, location, location.
Well, maybe you're here because you're supposed to be helping to, you know, get things moving.
Yeah,
well, you do
right.
in your own way.
Yeah, but I get things moving, all right.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, please. Some of my students were listening, and they're all into her, and they're going to go to her website, and one of them said she has a great
Holy
head of hair.
Holy Pasticle Tuesday.
There you go. Well, like I said, we've given a lot of this, a lot of the leaders in this field a voice here on Naked Soma, and I don't mind talking about women's issues as long as we understand that it's supposed to be to balance anything with the ape-like men, because you're not going to change the men. The men are always going to have the same perspective that we're being attacked, no matter what you say to us, because we're defective. So it's like, you know. If it's like the Indians, so this land is your land, we come over, no, this land is our land, here's your reservation. With men, and we need to get like a dude empowerment thing on here one time. We got to go play on the other side of the
I think that would be
here.
A lot of fun.
I mean, my God. Because it's like
Can
what
you
happens
find
is,
them?
Exactly, they're under rocks hiding from all these women.
I'll tell you where we might be able to find them is in the organizations that are helping single dads get some rights back after divorce. We could
Maybe.
Probably start there.
Okay.
You filthy criminies.
That's what
we could just do this. We could just do this the whole show because, you know, it's so much fun.
Yeah, for us. Not the
is.
Five people listening in the... 200 archiving cowards that don't call us. Well, anyway, if you take a look at NakedSomaNation.com, we have a new bunting up, and we'll be scurrying around with our cyber selves, and we are going to be creating a new forum for you guys up there, because we know, just like this woman talked about tonight, it's hard to come by this information, so we want to be sort of your, your Siskel and Ebert, so to speak, to introduce you to a lot of these things and give you kind of a hidey-ho. So that there's less searching around, you can go to NakedSomination.com, and I want to know, and Val wants to know, like, why you buy some of the crap you buy.
Yep, I would love to know.
Because I'm fascinated that on the woo side of the coin, I can care less about what you're getting at the drugstore, or like, care less if your Prozac ain't working for you, care less if your Naprosyn isn't getting you there anymore, you need a Percocet. You know, I that's not my deal. I'm much more interested in when you go for the St. John's wort, or you go for your remedies. Like, what possessed you? What drives you there? Because that behavioral part of it is all completely about marketing. And the woo is marketed, like I said, it's marketed just like meds. There's no difference in the training from of someone who's a salesman for medical supplies or someone that's working for
a nutraceutical company or a supplement company. They learn the same basic principles. They just go to the herbalist instead of the internist. And it's all symptom based. It's all based on trying not to experience things. And you know, as Raquel talked about, she's trying to get people to be okay with what nature gave you and be able to facilitate and support that rather than deny it, chop it up, cut it out, mutilate it, stick it in a box, you know, put some plastic in it and you know, parade down the street with a thong. You know, that sometimes looks good. It isn't always a long term strategy. So you know, so for that reason alone, I guess I'm curious to see if we can get more dialogue going on NakedSummonation.com. So I'm not even sure we have a guest next week, but we might.
I don't know. I kind of think we might not. That might be the week that we skipped.
Yeah,
I'm
not sure. Well, we'll be back here next week with some say. But until then, we will play you out with a little heckle and jekyll for this secret and bleep listening public.
That's right.
Say, that's great. How do you do it? I just think about it, and then it happens. Do you suppose I can do it? Certainly. What would you like to do? I think I'd like to take a bath. Boy, this is grand. And it's just the temperature I like, too. I say, would you care to have a swim now? Boy, I sure would. Well, we'll just lengthen the tub and go ahead.
Travel light.
Bye-bye.